How good the Lord is. How much we have for which to praise Him. He's given all for us. And by this, He shows us how He values man, how He appreciates the fellowship of human beings. His delights are with the sons of men. The Lord taketh pleasure in His people. And when we remember that the relations between God and each soul are as distinct and full as though there were not another soul upon the earth, when we remember that for one, Jesus would have passed through the agonies of Gethsemane and Calvary, then we begin to get a glimpse of how valuable we really are, how much we mean to God. Oh, I'm thankful for this, aren't you? Now, tonight I want to study with you two great dangers to which we are exposed. The first danger is the danger of missing a blessing, rejecting light because of the men who bring it. Turn, please, to Luke, the 10th chapter and the 16th verse. The first verse of this 10th chapter tells of the Lord's appointment of the 70. He had trained the 12 apostles, had ordained them and sent them out, and during the time that they were busy in their evangelistic field trips, Christ gave some attention to training more people. Included in these were the 70. As far as we know, these were not ordained, but they had had some experience with Jesus, and now they were sent forth. He gave them instruction, as you can read here in the 10th chapter of Luke. In the 16th verse, He spoke very directly of their responsibility and authority. He that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despiseth me, and he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. It's quite a responsibility to be a messenger for God, whether as an ordained minister or a layman. But it is the message and not the messenger that we need to be thinking about. God uses people that you and I might never select. He puts His treasure in earthen vessels that the glory may be given to God. He sometimes picks out men that we would find unacceptable. To them He may give a special ministry. We need to beware of rejecting light because of the men who bring it. In Desire of Ages 489, we read, "To reject the Lord's servants is to reject Christ Himself." Well, somebody says, if I could find a messenger that was like Jesus, I'd be more inclined to listen. Yes, it would be helpful, wouldn't it? And all who carry God's message should seek to be as much like the Savior as possible. But for reasons that God knows better than we, He oftentimes uses men and women that still have faults and failings. And if we stumble over those, and reject the message, God holds us responsible for refusing truth. One of the reasons is this: He wants us to accept truth on its own merit. He wants us to listen to truth because it is truth, not because of the man who brings it. We have a number of examples of this in the Bible. Cases where God used men who either had made mistakes in the past or might even be making mistakes at that time, yet they were used as God's ambassadors. Think of Peter at Pentecost. There he stood up before thousands of people and bore his witness and gave the call to repentance. I wonder if anybody back in the audience said, "Oh, what is that fellow doing anyway? Didn't we hear him less than 2 months ago cursing and swearing? What business has he got up there?" Was it true that he had failed the Lord? Miserably. But thank God, he'd fallen on his face in sorrow and repentance. Jesus had accepted him, and now he was giving a message that brought conviction to 3,000 souls. Oh, my dear friend, thank God in these closing scenes of the loud cry into which we are soon to enter, God will use men who have made mistakes. And we need to beware lest in self-righteous Phariseeism or in any other state of mind, we miss the message because we know faults and weaknesses about the messenger. Do you see what I mean? We must learn to distinguish between the message and the messenger. The message of God, the truth of God, is infallible. Men are not infallible. They make mistakes. We're to carefully consider the message they bring and be sure it comes from the Word of God. But when the truth of God is spoken, we must be prepared to accept it regardless of who the messenger is. That's the point. I've spoken of Peter's failures before Pentecost. But Peter, while he never descended to the depths of defeat after Pentecost as he had before, he was not infallible. You remember the Apostle Paul in speaking of an experience at Antioch when Peter dissembled. And first he did one thing and then something else, depending on the prejudices of the people he was with. Paul says in Galatians, I withstood him, that is Peter, to the face because he was to be blamed. So Peter made mistakes. But both before and after that Antioch experience, Peter was being used of God mightily and marvelous. And what a shame it would have been if the converts of Paul had said, well, we listen to Paul, but we have our doubts about Peter. Who's going to preach today? I think I heard them say Peter's going to preach. Well, I don't think I'll go. I remember what he did before Pentecost. And even lately, up there at Antioch, Paul had to rebuke him openly. When's Paul going to preach? Well, he's going to preach next Sabbath. Well, I'll go next Sabbath to hear Paul. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. You see what Paul, writing by inspiration, says about this kind of business. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and the 12th verse. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I have Cephas. Who's Cephas? That's Peter. I have Peter, and I have Christ. And Paul says, is Christ divided? What's the answer? No, Christ is not divided. Now turn to the third chapter, the 4th verse. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? What does carnal mean? Fleshly, unconverted, natural human heart. It's natural for people to line up with parties and leaders. We're seeing it in our country today. That's the way governments seem to run. But the Church of Christ was never meant to run that way. One is our master, even Christ, and we're all brethren. And we're all listening to hear what Jesus will say. He may use the humblest instrument. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and the 26th verse. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. 31st verse, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I'll tell you, my friend, if I were hungry, I mean really hungry, and somebody brought me a piece of bread, I don't think I would insist that he be a general before I'd take it. I think I'd even take it from a lieutenant. Possibly even a private could offer me the bread if I were real hungry. What do you say? Oh, yeah. Speaking of Peter's experience, and how he had to be rebuked by Paul. But Paul himself had a problem occasionally. You remember the Bible says that on one occasion he and Barnabas were about to start out on a preaching tour to places they had been before and raised up a number of churches. And Barnabas wanted to take a young man by the name of John Mark, happened to be the nephew of Barnabas. It happened that John Mark had been with him before, and when the work got hard and the difficulties got great, what did John Mark do? He went home. Paul was through with him, but Barnabas wasn't. And so as Paul and Barnabas discussed it, it came to the place where Barnabas said, oh, we must take John Mark. And Paul said, we must not take John Mark. He deserted us before, and we're going into some hard places again. Yes, Barnabas may have said, I know, but I think the boy has learned. Well, Paul says, I think we need somebody we can depend upon. Now, the Bible says the contention was so sharp between them that they parted asunder. Now, if you'd been back there and heard it, what would you have done? Which one would you have liked to go to hear at prayer meeting or preach Sabbath, Paul or Barnabas? You might have washed your hands of both of them. But God didn't. God kept on using them both. Barnabas went to Cyprus and took John Mark with him. Paul chose Silas and later Timothy, and they went on to Galatia and finally on to Europe. That's why you and I are here tonight. Oh, my dear friends, let us let God use everybody he can get, and let us use the ones he wants. What do you say? And let us be willing to listen to anybody that God sends with a message from heaven. I repeat, if we're hungry, we're not looking to see the rank of the man that brings it, or the color of his coat. We're listening to hear the message of God. Like little Samuel, we're saying, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. In the book Testimonies to Ministers, the prophet to the remnant says on page 106, listen to these wonderful words. The Lord often works where we least expect him. Well, I think I'll expect in another direction. He might work in still a third direction. The Lord often works where we least expect him. He surprises us by revealing his power through instruments of his own choice, while he passes by the men to whom we have looked as those through whom light should come. God desires us to receive the truth upon its own merit because it is truth. I've been preaching on this campus for a third of a century, and I know that God is blessed from time to time as the Word of God has been presented. But, brethren, what a sad day it would be if the time should come when we should miss a blessing that God wants to give us through varied gifts, through different messengers, through men of his own appointment. Oh, let us open our hearts wide. Let us open our ears to hear the message of God, letting God speak through whom he will. What do you say? The Lord often works where we least expect him. He surprises us by revealing his power through instruments of his own choice, while he passes by the men to whom we have looked as those through whom light should come. God desires us to receive the truth upon its own merits because it is truth. Well, now what did I tell you I was going to study with you tonight? Two dangers. We've studied one of them. There's another one. The first danger is the danger of missing the blessing because we don't like or don't appreciate or don't recognize the particular messenger that God uses to bring the message. We would prefer to have it come through another channel. That's one danger. We've seen how to guard against that. Have our ears open, our hearts open, willing for God to use whoever he chooses to present truth to us. Now, the other danger is the danger of being deceived the danger of accepting error because of the men who bring it. Just as it is possible for us to be prejudiced against men and thereby bring a blessing, miss a blessing if they bring truth, so it is possible for us to be prejudiced in favor of men and thereby miss a blessing if they present error. There are two ways in which this can happen. To get one of them clear, let's look at 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter and the 14th verse. We will read the 13th verse with it. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 and 14. Speaking of some who were opposing his work, the Apostle Paul, writing by inspiration, said, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness." So there is danger in opening our ears to everything. There is danger in being deceived by the representatives of Satan who masquerade as the apostles of Christ. It's seldom that Satan appears for what he is. It's seldom that men openly advocate listening to lies and call them lies. Usually error claims to be truth. And so the apostle says, be careful, beware. Don't be deceived by false apostles claiming to be the apostles of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." And Isaiah in the 8th chapter in the 20th verse says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." No matter how beautifully a man may present a message, no matter how polished, how attractive is his presentation, it does not change a lie into truth. It does not change a stone into bread. God wants us to be wise to discern error and quick to refuse it. You know, some animals, as something is brought to them to eat, they sniff it. The Lord has given them an instinct. God wants us, dear friends, to cultivate the ability to discern. And as a friend of mine put it, I don't have to drink a gallon of sour milk to find out whether it's sweet or sour. No, don't have to at all. There are some books you can tell by the cover what's in them. If you should have any doubt, just open it and look at a sentence would be enough. And the child of God will put down a book that he knows would lead him astray. Oh, but somebody says, "I think I'm wise enough that I can read anything and still not have my mind changed." I must say very simply and earnestly, don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. For as the apostle puts it in Galatians 6, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." But my dear friends, we are in danger not only by being deceived by pretenders, men that Satan has sent, but who claim to speak for God. We are in danger, and this is the one I want to especially focus on. We are in danger of following good men, men that God is using, in their eccentricities and their mistakes and their failure. We'll take a few examples of this. Think of Gideon. The book of Judges tells us the wonderful story of how the Lord selected that young man and gave him a commission to deliver Israel. You remember how, after repeated experiences in prayer and guidance, he led the 300 against the camp of Midian, and God gave a wonderful victory. And From then on, Israel looked to him as their judge. But the Bible says that Gideon led the people into idolatry. He had them bring the golden earrings, which was a part of the spoils of war in the battle that he had won. And he made an idol. And the people came. They worshipped it. Who led them into it? Gideon, the man that God had used to bring a mighty deliverance. It's hard for you and me to understand how Gideon would do that. Well, he wouldn't do it today if he lived in our country, because that isn't the way people go astray from God. If we'd been back there, we would have seen that was the popular thing. That was the thing that the crowds were doing, making idols and worshiping them. Today we have other ways of departing from God. My point is, a man that God used in a marvelous way still made mistakes and led Israel. Coming down to the book of 1 Samuel, we think of the experience of Eli. Eli was a godly man. He was the priest up there at Shiloh at the sanctuary. A wonderful spiritual man. But his boys were corrupt. They were vile. And instead of dealing with them, laboring with them and trying to get them to change, if he couldn't, putting them out of the priest's office, he allowed the thing to go on. Oh, he gave them some mild reproof. He said, the things I hear about you boys aren't good. But he let them go right on. And the result was, dear friends, that God had to allow the enemies of Israel to bring terrible defeat, in which the ark of God was taken and those two young men were slain. And Eli, the father, died of a broken heart and a broken neck as he heard the tidings from the battle. I repeat, dear friends, a man may be a spiritual leader and yet have faults, weaknesses, which have a tremendous influence. We need to be careful lest we follow good men, just as there is danger in rejecting that which men bring because of their weaknesses. There is danger of our following men in their weaknesses. Do you see the two dangers? Very important. Think of King Solomon. God himself gave him the name Jedidiah, beloved of the Lord. In his youth, as he was called to the kingdom, in humility, he sought the Lord earnestly for wisdom. He said, I'm but a little child, and I don't know how to go out or come in before this people. Give therefore thy servant a wise and understanding heart. God heard his prayer. God promised to give him wisdom so that he would be the wisest man in this world. And he was. He built the temple according to the divine specification. And all the kings of the earth came to Jerusalem to hear the wisdom of God as revealed through King Solomon. But all praise that man. That man that had done such a wonderful work for God, that had lived in communion with the King of Heaven, that man led Israel into apostasy. He multiplied riches, and God had told him not to do it. He multiplied wives, and God had told him not to do that. He multiplied horses and chariots and other status symbols, and God had told him not to do that. And as a result, the whole nation went into apostasy and after Solomon's death was divided and never did carry out the glorious design that God intended. Who led them? Solomon. A man that had led them in the worship of God. A man to whom God had witnessed personally in vision. So I repeat, beware of men. There is danger in following men. So we look tonight at these two dangers. The danger of missing the blessing of light because we see something in the messenger that we don't like, real or apparent. On the other hand, the danger of following leadership, even contrary to the will of God, just because they claim to be sent of God, or they may even be men of God. Men that God has used and even may be using. In Isaiah, the second chapter, we have this word of counsel ringing down the ages to our time. Isaiah, the second chapter in the 22nd verse. What's the first word? Cease. What does that mean? Stop. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? If God uses a man to bring his message, test the message. Listen to the truth of God. And if it is from God's holy word and is supported by the inspired statements, accept it, whether you like the man or not, my dear friend. On the other hand, no matter how mightily God may have used a man, if he sets forth either in his life or in his teaching that which is not in harmony with the inspired standard, do not follow him. Do not fall into that trap. Cease ye from man. We have one pattern, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have one example, the life of our Lord. Oh, I'm so glad we can follow him. He will never disappoint us. We can hear his words speaking in this book from Genesis to Revelation. He's calling us to a higher and holier standard. Let's come up. What do you say? Let's make him glad by listening, listening, listening. Now, we're going to spend a little while in witness. Those who would like, just feel free to come up. Several of you can be sitting here at a time. We'll have a good time in praise to our Lord.
Just like to say tonight, I'm thankful that the Lord has a place for imperfect people in his work.
So am I.
Each day I find that I'm very imperfect, and I'm thankful that he can use me and find a place for me.
That's good. He even says he's working all the time to make up our deficiencies. That's what encourages me to keep working for him.
I'm not usually bashful, as everybody has found out by now. But this week has been a pretty different week than most of the weeks that I've spent at Wildwood. And I was asked last night to have songs of cheer at the sanitarium for the patients, and I refused, more or less, because I just had such a week that I just knew that I couldn't stand before people and tell of the wonderful name of Jesus and the love that he has for us. And yet, you know, there was something that happened last night that just convinced me that Jesus was closer, was more real than he ever has been. Just in that time, in that time that I needed to be of assistance to someone else, he came and assisted me. And so this morning, Pastor Cox stopped me in the hall, I think it was this morning, and he said, "Would you like to have the song service tonight?" I said, "The Lord is so good to give us a second chance, you know, when he knows that we're going to really be able to. It just doesn't benefit others, it benefits us." So I'm thankful for the opportunity to witness to his name tonight.
I'm very thankful that you folks are getting a chance to hear what you've heard tonight. I wish I had heard it a good many years ago before I met up with an experience I did one time. I was reared in an isolated area. I didn't know what it was to mingle with Adventists. And a Bible worker came to our town, and we thought she was perfect. Why, she just had to be. And then she went away, and for some time we didn't hear from her, and then she began writing us long, long letters. And in here, in those letters, she was putting some lovely things, mingling them with some error. And because we thought she was so wonderful, why, we thought we were supposed to accept everything. But thank God we began questioning what we were hearing. The trouble was that interspersed with all this, there was a spirit of criticism. And so I found myself on both sides of the subject we've heard tonight. I began measuring when I did get to the place that I could hear some of our speakers. I began to measure some of them by some of the things that she had said. And folks, I'm advising you against both sides of this extreme. Test the message, and don't receive error because some nice person is bringing it to you. And don't judge God's people unless you judge them by the word of God and not by your feelings. I really appreciate this message.
I think that one of my dangers is that because of my own faults and weaknesses, that I might feel that I shouldn't give a message that the Lord has given to me to give to someone. And this past week, the Lord has let some trials come to me. And Satan has really been trying to discourage me. But I'm so thankful that the Lord's been giving me, showing me that Satan can put a thought into my mind, but I don't have to keep it there. I can reject it and just be thankful for Jesus that's with me.
I think I'm learning the same thing as Faye. Sometimes you're afraid to attempt a missionary contact that the Lord puts in your way because you're afraid you're going to flub it up with the defects that you have yourself. The Lord brought me one a number of weeks ago, and I kind of resisted working with her. But then I prayed about it, and I just decided I just had to let the Lord lead and work it out in each detail. And we spent quite a bit of time together. And one afternoon, something happened, and I thought, oh, I've just wrecked it. But I prayed about it some more, and the Lord worked it all out for a blessing. And I just want to thank him, and I just want to learn more, to let him work things out, not to worry about him, and pray about him. I didn't know how I was even going to get her to go and do a certain thing that needed to be accomplished. And the Lord just worked it out. She came to me and asked me to go with her. And we had time to spend together before the appointment, and I just want the Lord to work it out.
I'm really thankful that God has given us imperfect hands to do imperfect work and imperfect brains to make imperfect decisions so that he can have the opportunity to make up for it. And in the end, we know that there will be a perfect work done. And I want to give thanks and quote an imperfect paraphrase of the Bible that's from Philippians, and it goes that it's God that works in you, that is helping you to want to do his will, and then he works in you to help you to do it.
Let me ask you something, you parents that have helped your little children to learn to walk. As you look back at it, are you glad you had that privilege? Or would you rather they had just sprung out of your arms one day and started to walk up and down the room just as well as you can? Don't you know our Lord loves to work with us in our halting attempts to carry out his will? Praise his wonderful name. But it's too bad. It's too bad when we stumble over that. The object of it all is to learn to walk, not to be forever falling, isn't it?
I just want to praise God that, you know, a lot of us, I had a friend that she hurt me very, very deeply because she was a person I really admired, and she really walked close to God, but she really got hung up on something that I knew was wrong, and she kept impressing me and trying to get me to do it. And I said, no, you know, I can't do that, because I learned a long time ago that I couldn't do that. And, you know, it was awfully hard for me to go see her for a long time, and it was hard for me to love her. And yet, I realized that she had just come to know the Lord and had gotten hung up on something that was within our truth, but was something I had gotten hung up on too. And I learned to pray for her that she would overcome that fault the same as I had. You know, it did a lot to me to realize that each of us are imperfect and each of us don't see God's light the same way. But the Lord is close enough to each of us that he will show us what is right and what is wrong, and to pray for those who don't have that understanding too. Right. I praise God for that.
Amen. There are angels hovering round, there are angels hovering round, there are angels, angels hovering round. They will carry tidings home, they will carry tidings home, they will carry tidings to the New Jerusalem, to the New Jerusalem, to the New Jerusalem.
I would like to share a blessing that helps me know that even though our prayers are imperfect, the Lord loves to answer our imperfect prayers. After I was converted for the first time, I'm still being converted every day, I went to a friend that I'd been in to high school and college with and to share my faith with her and tell her about this new life that I was learning. And she told me about a friend that we knew in high school and that she'd gone with some strange group and she'd become a religious fanatic and you couldn't write to her and you couldn't, you know, even see her or anything. And I was concerned because as she described the situation, I thought, well, I'm glad that she's seeking for the Lord, but she has gotten off to the wrong foot. And she didn't tell me the name of the group or anything. But I remember that the Lord burdened my heart for this girl because I knew her in high school. And for several days, I pled for her that this girl would give me, Mary would give me her address. Her name was Nancy Nixon. And I forgot about it. But I remembered I'd prayed for her just for a couple days. And then before Sister Vida left on her vacation, she had these two sisters from the Holy Order of Mans come here, and she wanted to give them a tour. And she couldn't do it, so she called Larry and I and asked us if we would do it. And we said, sure, we'd do that for them. And so the next day they came, and Larry said, you take them on the tour. So I took them on a tour, and we had a nice time sharing. And I was driving them home, and she said, oh, you from Glenview, Illinois? And I said, yes, I'm from Glenview. She says, do you happen to know by any chance Nancy Nixon? And I said, yes, I do. I said, how do you know her? Well, it turned out that this girl, Nancy Nixon, had come into the Holy Order of Mans 2 days before these two girls, and that she had gone through the student training and everything together, and that she knew where she was located down in Louisiana. So a year and a half ago, I prayed for this girl just in an imperfect way, and the Lord heard my prayer and brought me her address, and I'm thankful He loves to do that.
Good. All right, James?
I'm thankful that I can get up front here, and I can just ask the Lord and give me the words, and He'll give me the words. I was privileged to be able to give the nature talk at the Vacation Bible School the last few afternoons, and the first afternoon it was very interesting because I said, well, I don't really need to pray that much for it, you know, I can do it all right. Well, I got up there and everything turned out all right, but I stuttered around and stammered a little bit more than I wanted to. And so I got up there the next night, and before I went up, when I was coming down the trail, I was able to walk down the trail to be able to get my ride. And as I was coming down the trail, I stopped there by an old log, and I knelt down and I prayed, Lord, give me the words. I can't do nothing of myself. And I got there, and I got up there, and the night before, my eyes had just watered up, and I could hardly see what I was reading or anything. And this night, I got up there, and I was so calm, and I was so peaceful, and the words just flowed out. So I'm proud, I'm pleased that the Lord has the rule over our mouths and that He can give us the words if we ask, and that we don't have to worry about making up the words ourselves.
Don't forget, you don't learn to walk on water without Him.
In our home, at worship in the morning, we've been reading the Great Controversy, especially the closing events, and how Satan will even transform himself into an angel of light. So these thoughts have been going through our mind about the power that Satan has even in using people. And tonight we've heard words of caution also, and that the Lord wants us to be wise as we listen to those that are speaking to us. But I know the Lord doesn't want us to become anxious, but as a people He wants us to come together into unity. And this means learning to trust one another. So putting all these thoughts together, I know that the Lord wants us to trust one another, not really believe that someone is wanting to deceive us within our church. But I'm so thankful that with these thoughts of caution, that the Lord can give us a love that beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things.
Amen. I'm very thankful tonight for the message, and I'd just like to praise the Lord that He doesn't wait until we're perfect before He can use us. to be a blessing to others. I am reminded of what the Lord is trying to teach me about judging. I was impressed with this again as I heard the message. I recall that the Lord is teaching me that when I'm hung up or criticizing my brother or sister because of a fault or a mistake, that I may not know that this person at that very moment may be gaining the victory with the Lord on their knees, going to the Lord, repenting and confessing and getting things straightened out and going on, and I'm still there disgracing my Lord by criticizing and talking about that particular fault. And this has come very clear and come home to my heart, and I praise the Lord.
God bless you.
I'd just like to say I'm thankful for an opportunity to have been here and to have the good people that I've had to work with me. And if it's God's will, then I can serve Him better and be placed where He wants me to be. And I have an interest in your prayers, and I praise the Lord for helping me to be here.
Thank you, sister. The Lord loves you.
I'm convinced that the Lord can work miracles. And even though we get to see them all around us, I guess I'm most grateful for the miracles that He works in me. And I was just thinking, sometimes I get so hung up on having to correct other people because I can see how many corrections I need myself. And then one time one of our instructors here said in our classes, if I wait to correct you until I'm perfect, there won't be any chance for you. And that really helped me.
Thank you.
Like we learn every time we try to learn anything, there's two sides to everything. And I have to tell the other side to one of the stories that were previously spoken here when James told about his nature talk. It made me very happy because I was responsible for the nature talks for St. Elmo's Bible School. And on Wednesday nights, I couldn't be there because I was helping in Trenton's story hour for the Bible school children we had there. And so Wednesday, I was wondering who could help me and do it at St. Elmo. And I prayed and I thought of some of my fellow students, and I thought of them. And the very night before, I was looking around, and well, it started another Sabbath before when I was wandering down on a Sabbath afternoon, and there was this person bending over looking in the water, and I found out it was James, and he was just happened to be examining the minnows. And we got to talking, and I was really privileged that he shared with me some of the lessons he'd learned in nature. And it thrilled me for many days afterwards I felt privileged to hear those things. And then when I saw him at St. Elmo, and I knew that he would enjoy. He had the enthusiasm like no one I ever had about the lessons in nature. And so I prayed about it and asked him, and sure he would. And I just prayed that he'd really learn something and he'd have a good experience in it. And I'm just so glad that he did, and that for a second night he did too. And we'll just see what God works out this next week. James has promised to catch chipmunks and birds and minnows that we can take and show the kids. And I'm just glad for the way God works out in His providence everything that we do and ask Him for.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. I'm happy I came today. My wife is in the wonderful hospital here, and Dr. Hansen operated on her yesterday. Yes. My name is Thomas Jefferson. I'm from Oakwood College, and I'm asking you to pray for me. I have a beautiful wife, and I can see that God love me through the thing, how she's patient, understanding. And many times I'm not as understanding as she is. And I'm asking you to pray for me that I can become the individual and my studies, my married life, as well as my duty towards my fellow man, and be ambassador for the Lord.
Thank you, brother.
And one of the young ladies in the nurses said, if you want to hear a beautiful message, be sure to come here tonight. And I'm glad I did.
Glad you came. Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Now, as we close the service tonight, I want Pastor Cox to come up and have prayer. I want to invite anyone forward who has a special need, a special longing in your heart. If you just come up now and kneel here, we'll remember you in prayer especially. Whatever your need is, the Lord says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Oh, how wonderful our Lord is to hear our prayers. And remember, he hears each one as if that one were the only one. He gives each of you as much attention as though there were no one else here. He gives the same attention to your request as though nobody else had his ear. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Will the congregation kneel with us as we seek the Lord?
Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, what a wonderful privilege to come here tonight and to hear the words spoken by thy servant. And our hearts have truly been touched. Oh Lord, thou art so good to us. As these precious ones came tonight to give their testimonies, we were further touched, Father, and drawn ever closer to thee. There are those of us, Father, who didn't come forward. But oh Lord, in our hearts, we're overjoyed at all that thou hast done for each of us. May we never forget wherein our strength layeth. May we never forget that our Lord Jesus has paid a tremendous price that we might have eternal life. Now, Lord, as it is quiet here in the sanctuary tonight, as these have come and knelt before thee, desiring a special blessing, we ask, Lord, that thou would pour it out to them according to thy will and thy purpose in each of their lives. And as we go forward from this sanctuary, Lord, may we be firmly consecrated and dedicated to thee. May we have given our all that we might be all that you would have us to be and do all that you would have us to do. Bless us throughout the Sabbath day, and as we start a new week, Father, after the Sabbath closes tomorrow evening, may we do so in confidence, with the assurance that soon our Lord shall come. May we be ready to meet him, for we ask it in his name, for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Understand? My Jesus, I love thee, I know.
With you all, you're dismissed.